Okay, what I thought, and I've been working on this all week, and I'm not 100% clear in what I'm going to tell you. It's in yonim that are beyond me, but some idea I can give over to you. If you look at the wall, Miriam Shapiro made this plaque. Kishem shekiyamti v'yoshavti v'suka zu, kein eske, l'shona haba, leishe v'suka orosh ha-leviyosin. So I want to speak about what suka orosh ha-leviyosin is, what leviyosin is. What's the concept of leviyosin? It's a peladik gemara in Bava Basra. Mm-hmm. And so we'll take it a little bit at a time. And also, Bein Hadvarim, the person who spoke, was it Rabbi Blau, was his name? First speaker,
Boyer.
Boyer? Boyer. So he said some things that astounded a lot of people here. He quoted a Shir Das, which I don't think he understood properly. Basically, what he said was right, but not exactly the way he said it. And Bein Hadvarim will try to explain what the idea really is, a little bit different than the way he presented it. Okay, in any case, in Tanakh, there are four places, clearly, that the Torah speaks about Leviyosin, mentions Leviyosin. There's another place where Chazal say that it's talking about Leviyosin, but the Torah doesn't mention it specifically. Those places are in Yeshayahu, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, in Iyuv, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chav He, Til Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Chav Vav. A lot of psukim that speak about the description of Leviyosin. And in Tehillim, Ayin Dalet, Pasuk Yod Dalet, and again in Tehillim, Kuf Dalet Chavav. First, I want to read those sources, except for the one in Iyuv. The one in Iyuv is very long, and it's just a description of the characteristics of Leviyosin, which are not really Nogeya. The first place is in Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu, Chav Zayin says the following. Yom Ahu is talking about in the future, Achris Hayomim, Yifkod Hashem, Becharbo, Hakosha, Vahagdola, Vahachazoka. The Rabbanu Shel Olam will use his great, strong, hard sword, Al Leviyosan Nochash Bariach, against Leviyosan, the straight snake. The Al Leviyosin Nochash Aklason and Leviyosin the crooked snake. The Al Leviyosin of the Horag Esatanin Asher Bayam. And he'll kill the sea monster in the sea. Three things. The that's the first Zecher of Leviyosin. And then in Iyuv, like we said, there's a whole perek and a half that just describes the characteristics of this gigantic sea monster. In Tehillim, there's two psukim that mention Leviyosin. One is in Ayin Dalet. Pasuk says the following. Ato ritzatzto roshe Leviyosin, titnenu macho la'am letziyim. You crush the heads of the Leviyosin, and you gave it as food, la'am letziyim, to Klal Yisrael. Am letziyim refers to Klal Yisrael. For various reasons, we'll see in one second what it means, and then we'll see why Klal Yisrael called am letziyim. And again, in Kuf Dalet, mentions Leviyosin again. It says, we said it in Slichas, Shom Onios Yehalechum, there in the seas, the boats travel. Leviyosin Ze Yotzar to the Sachik Bo. And in the sea is Leviyosin that you created to play with. And there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that the first 3 hours of the day, the Rabbanu Shlom plays with Leviyosin. Okay, those are the sources in Tanakh. Now, from the various Perushim, and we'll go into detail, but let's just set the Bichlal generally. It seems that there are a few different aspects to this Leviosa. The first aspect is simple, that it is Taka, the description of a sea monster that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Pshuto Kamashmo, right, the gigantic sea monster that exists, maybe not in the world as we know it, but it was created B'sheshes and Mebereshes. That's one thing. Secondly, the Mefarshim say that this idea of Leviosan is a hint to spiritual powers, both powers of Tuma and powers of Kedusha, and it's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing. See, there's no contradiction between these things. Both are true. And thirdly, that it's a remez to the nations, the empires, various empires that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy. Okay. In Yeshayahu, let's see now how it works out. But in any case, again, Lefiyosan can be understood on many levels, and they all could be true. In Yeshayahu, according to most Mefarshim, where it says that Bayomahu, on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use his great sword against these three monsters, the two Leviosans and the Tanim Shebiyam, most Mefarshim there learn that it's talking about the destruction of various Malchios. Rashi there says, Leviosan Nochash Bariach refers to Mitzrayim. And we'll see it doesn't necessarily mean the Mitzrayim that existed in the past, or even the Mitzrayim that exists today, but it means the power of the empire of Mitzrayim that will exist be'achris hayomim and have been inherited by a nation that will have those same tichundos of what Mitzrayim had in the past. Okay, basically, Mitzrayim, Reb Shamshon Farher says, is a society that is based on Hamas, on treachery, on stealing, and on what's it called, Mirma, and on deception. That's the empire that will have taken the place of Mitzrayim. That's called Mitzrayim. Nivliviyosin Nachash Akloson, the crooked Nachash, that's Ashur. Again, doesn't mean that the nation of Ashur will exist B'achris Hayomi. It means that there will be a nation that will have inherited the tchunos of Ashur that the Rabban Shom will destroy B'achris Hayomim. And the Tanim Asher B'yom refers, Rashi says, to Kitim, to the nations of the islands. The Radak says that Nochash Bariach, Leviosa Nochash Bariach is Edom, Nochash Akalosom is Yishmael, and the Tanim Shebiyam is the Hodim, the Indians, India. The Barbanel says the opposite. Nochash Bariach is Yishmael, and the reason it's called Nochash Bariach is because the Malchus of Yishmael spread over the whole world. There are Muslims all over what's it called, the world. And Nochash Akalosun is Edom. And Tanim Shebayam is all the other nations that are not the religion of Yishmael. In other words, they're not Muslims and they're not Christians. Edom is basically connected with Christianity. And they are not from their religion, not from their people. All the other nations that are not aligned with the Muslims or the Christians, that's the Tanim Shebayam. The Malbim says that it refers more generally to empires that one empire is called Leviosan Nochash Bariach because its strength lies in the vastness of its land and its, what's it called, where it's situated. It's up in mountains or whatever, a very strong country because of the characteristics of the country itself. Nochash Akalosan is an empire that's strong because of the amount of people that are there and the vastness of the country. Not so much where it's situated, up in mountains or whatever, but its vastness. And the Tanim Shabiyam is the an empire that has tremendous power. The people are strong people. It's not the land that is the factor that makes them great. It's the strength of the people. Those, says the Malbim, are the three empires that are being described, and they could be any peoples that fit this description. In any case, so that's what the Das Sofrim says. It will be three empires that will exist b'achris hayomim, and like we said, they will be the spiritual heirs of these original Malchios, either Mitzrayim, Ashur, Edom, Yishmael, and so on. Okay, and that's called Leviosa. Okay. That's on a physical level. Rav Moshe David Vali, who was a Talmud of the Ramchal, he says that these three monsters, the two Leviosans and the Tanim Shabiyam, are the three heads of the Klipa. The Klipa means that this is the powers of evil, but all the powers of evil get their existence from Kedusha. They can't exist without some kind of Kedusha within them. And therefore, the Nochash Bariach is the Tzad Hara, the negative side of Yesod. One of the characteristics, one of the powers of Kedusha is called Yesod, foundation of Kedusha. Right, right now it's not Nogia to go into what it is exactly, and surely not from me, but that's what's called the Inyan of Yesod. It's one of the spheros of Kedusha, and this is the flip side, the negative side of that. The Nochash Akoloso is the flip side of Tiferes. Tiferes is Emes, so the crooked side is the distortion of Emes. And the Tanim Shebiyam is, what does he say? Is Keneged Yisol Tiferes, is Keser, Bubina. Okay. In any case, meaning that it's not a contradiction, because every empire has behind it spiritual. Everything in this world is physical things, but it has behind it spiritual powers. So, and the Ribbono Shel Olam does not destroy an empire till he first destroys the spiritual power behind it. So therefore, there's no contradiction between these two things. That says the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Achris Hayomim will destroy these three physical empires, whatever they are, but first he has to destroy the powers that exist behind them, the spiritual powers, so that will happen at the same time. So there's no contradiction. In Tehillim, where it says, Ato ritzatz to Rashi Leviyason, again, Rashi says Leviyason refers to Paro. And it's talking about what happened in the past, that the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the Malchus of Mitzrayim, of Paro, Nosata, what's it called, and you gave it, Macho La'am Letziyim, meaning you gave their money to Klal Yisrael. Doesn't mean they ate the Leviyason. It means they benefited. The Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the Malchus of Mitzrayim and gave the benefit from that Malchus, their money, La'am Letziyim, to Klal Yisrael, who spent 40 years in Mokum Tzia, in a desolate place in the Midbar. Here again, Rav Moshe David Vali says that it's talking about Sichon and Og. Not talking about Mitzrayim, it's talking about the Rosh Leviyason, two Roshim, is Sichon and Og. Same idea. And the Mari Ibn Yechiya says that this refers to the Gemara, which we're going to speak about in a few seconds. The Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam created this Leviyason and put it away for the Tzaddikim to eat in the final meal of this world, right? What's it called? And that's why it says Rosh Leviyason, because there was a Zohar and an Akeva, two different, Leviyasons, and Rosh Leviyason. And Am Letziyim, Letziyim Tzi, is the navy. It has to do with the water. Klal Yisrael exist on water, on Torah, And that is the schus that they have to eat this leviosim lasid lavo. But we're going to get to what that means, eating this leviosim, what kind of meal is going to be in Olam Haba, where there's no eating and drinking or whatever. The pasuk in Tehillim that we said, right, ata yotzarta, what's it called, the shom ani yoshi aleichu, leviosim ze yotzarta lesachikbo, that refers, Rashi says, to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first 3 hours of the day, the Rabbanu Shalom plays with leviosim. We'll explain what that means in a while. The others say, that's the Gemara, that's a drash. What's the Pashup Shat? That the Rabbanu Shalom created the leviosim to play with the fish, not to be eaten by fish. All other fish are eaten by some other fish. Leviosim is not eaten by any fish. He's around to play with all the other fishes. The Gra says that leviosim is a euphemism for the tremendous wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the tzaddikim lasid lavo, specifically chidushei Torah, new things in Torah, that's called schok. Schok, the Gra says, is something that gives you happiness in spontaneous happiness, is schok. And all these chidushei Torah will give these tzaddikim a spontaneous enjoyment, and that's called the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom plays with the leviosim. It's talking about spiritual concepts that will be given to the tzaddikim in the future, and that's, we'll see, one of the ideas of what this seudah is. Okay, I just wanted to go through the psukim or whatever. Now we'll go to the Gemara in Bava Basra. First, let's see the Gemara quickly, and then we'll see the different pshatim, what's going on here. Okay. Vayivra Elokim Satanim Hagdolim. The Pasuk says in Bereishis that the Rabbanu Shem created the great sea monsters, Taninim Hagdolim. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ze Leviosan, Nochash Bariach, Veloson Nochash Alkalosan. That it says in Yeshayahu, Bayomahu Yivkar Hashem Bechar Bo Akosha. This refers to these two sea monsters, Leviosan, the straight snake, and the crooked snake. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Now we'll see what this Bria was. Rabbanu Shem created these two sea monsters. Everything that Rabbanu Shem created in the world, he created Zohar and Nekeva. Not necessarily, we'll see, is what the Mepharshim say, to propagate, because we'll see that these two things don't propagate. But there's a purpose why things had to be male and female, even if it's not for the sake of propagation. The Af Leviosin Nochesh Briyah, the Leviosin Nochesh Aklosin Zechor Nekeva Brom. The Rabbanu Shem created these two Leviosins, male and female. The Ilmoi Niskakim Zelazeh, however, if they were allowed to copulate, if they'd be allowed to get together, right? Fish don't actually copulate. That's why it doesn't say Ze Bozeh, it says Ze Lozeh, right? Like fish. Machriven is Kola Olam Kulo. The whole world would be destroyed. So Ma'asu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though he created the male and female, because there's a reason why there has to be a male and a female, but he prevented them from having children. He castrated the male, or he made him impossible to have children, and he killed the female. Umolcha, and he preserved her, assaulted her, l'tzadikim l'asid lavo, put her away for the tzadikim to eat l'asid lavo. In the future. Shenemar v'horigas atanim asher bayom. He killed the tanim asher bayom. The Gemara says that refers to the nekeva of leviosim. Not a third thing, but one of the taninim that the Rabbanu Shalom created. These two leviosims, he killed the nekeva. V'af behema bahari elef, zocher nekeva rom. Same thing there in there is an animal called behema bahari elef. Tremendously big animal. Also was created male and female, and not for the sake of propagating, because the Rabbanu Shalom kept them from having children. The ilmolei niskakim zeh imzeh, here it says zeh imzeh, like animals, machriven kol olam kulo. if they would be able to copulate, then they destroy the whole world. Ma osa kodesh baruch hu, shiris es hazochar, v'tzine nes hanikeva. V'shomer l'tzadikim losid lavo. Here, he castrated the male, and he cooled off the female that she shouldn't want to be nizkat to the male. And he put her away, didn't kill her, right, just cooled her off for the future. Shenemar hinei kocha b'mosna v'on v'shrit bitno. Okay, Gemara says, hasam nami l'sarsi l'zochar l'tznani l'nekeva. Why by the fish did he have to kill the nekeva and salt her? Why not just cool her off like he did by the animal? Gemara says, dogim pritzei. Dogim, you can't cool them off. They're too, what's it called, too hot. So you had to kill her. The levit ibcha, why didn't he do the opposite? Right? Why didn't he kill the male and salt the female? Ibois ema nekeva milchamali. That the female fish tastes better when it's salted. Ibois ema kivan dechsiv levyosan ze yotzart lesachikbo bahadi nekeva lav orechara. Since it says the Ravonsham plays with the Leviosan, it wouldn't be proper to mention that with a female fish, only the male. Hochanami lemalchal nekeva, right over here also by the animal. Why didn't he salt it? Why did he put it away, cooled it off and put it away? Why didn't he just kill it and salt it? Kavra malicha mali bisra, malicha lo mali. Salted fish tastes good. Salted meat is not so good. Okay, that's one Gemara. Next Gemara. We're not going to explain these. We'll just hear them first, and then we'll explain what's going to go on, partially at least. The Omer of Yehuda Marav, Yardein Yotze Mimoras Pamias. The Yardein, its source is from a cave. Very small source of the Yardein, Mimoras Pamias. Tanya Nami Hochi, Yardin Yotsu Moris Pamias, Umahalak Biyamashal Sivchi, and then the Yardin goes into the Yam of Sivchi, and the Yamashal Tveria, and then into the Kinneret, Umizgalga Vyorid Liyamagodl, and from there it goes into the Yamagodl, and it doesn't mix with the other waters, it goes through them, and into the Mediterranean, Umizgalga Vyorid Achemagil Apivshal Leviosan, and it goes until it goes into the mouth of Leviosan. And it brings a pasuk from Iyuv, which we didn't say. Okay. Okay. Kiyosar of Dimis, that's another thing. The Leviosan swallows up the Yarding. Kiyosar of Dimi, Omer of Yochanan, my dechsiv, kihu al yamim yisoda. But al nahol, that's not the one. Where next? Kiyosar of Dimi. Omar Rabbi Yonachanan, Osid Gavriel Lassos Kenigim Leviosan. The future, Gavriel Hamalach is going to make a hunt against Leviosan. Shenamra Timshoch Leviosan Becheiko Bechevel Tashkiel Leshonis can go out with a hook and cord and rope. Vilmolekodish Baruch Hu Ozro and a Yochel. If God wouldn't help him, he wouldn't be able to overcome the Leviosan, even the Malach. Kiyosar of Dimi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Bishosh Leviosan Roy, Motzi Hevel, Mipivu, Marsiach, Kol Meimosh, Metzula. When the Leviosan's hungry, he puts out heat from his mouth and heats up all the seas. Okay. Here's the Yikuan. Omer Rabba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasso, Sudol HaTzadikim, Ipsorish HaLeviosan. In the future, God's going to make a tremendous meal for the Tzadikim, from the flesh of the Leviosan. Shenemar brings the pasuk in Iyuv. Okay. And then, Vahashar, and all the tzaddikim, the Talmidei Chachamim, we're going to eat the flesh of the fish. What's left over, Cholkin also, Vosim Boschor, what's left over, they'll do business with, and sell it to others. That's what that means. B'shukei Risham, they're going to Shukim Rishalayim, and sell the leftover flesh. What they didn't eat. It brings psukim for this. V'omar Rabba Om Rabbi Yochanan, Osak Rish Baruch Hu Lasso Sukkah L'Tzadikim Me'orosh L'Viyosan. That's the flesh of L'Viyosan. The ore the Rabbanu Shalom is going to make a sukkah for the tzaddikim. Shetnema atimali besukkos oro. Zocha osimo sukkah. Some people will be zocha that they'll have a sukkah made. They'll be enveloped completely with the skin of Leviosan. Lo zocha, a person's not zocha, osim lo tzaltzel. He'll have a little thing over his head, like an umbrella, not a whole sukkah. Somebody's not zocha for that, right? Lo zocha, osim lo anak. He'll have a piece of the oil of a yosin around his neck. Some people not zocha for that, right? He'll have a kmiya, even a smaller thing around his neck, made out of the oil of a yosin. Okay. And the rest of it, whatever's left over that from the skin that won't be used for the sukkahs or the kmiyas or the tzaltzels, parsa kodesh baruch hachomus Yerushalayim, he'll spread it over the walls of Yerushalayim, and it's the light will go from one end of the world to the other, and goyim will come and be guided by that light. That is the Gemara's. Okay, if you're not more confused than you were before. Okay, those are the Gemara's. Okay, let's see what the Pshat is. The Marsha says, first of all, that even though there are very deep meanings, hints to all of this, everything is supposed to be understood literally also. That all these things will happen literally. That's what the Marsha says. In addition, there are deeper meanings. They're all true. The Kosev in the Ein Yaakov brings down a Rashba. First he says that the idea of Leviosan, like we said, is basically a hint to the destruction of the empires that will exist by Achris Hayomim, okay? And also ideas of spiritual powers that exist in the world. We'll see in one second what those powers are. And like we said, they're all true. And the Seuda, we'll see, doesn't necessarily mean actual eating and ingesting these things, but like it says, V'achaltu es kol ha'amim. It doesn't mean that we are cannibals and we ate up all the nations. It means that we destroyed them and we basically inherited the powers that they had. That's called also achila. So if the Ravon Shalom is going to destroy these nations and destroy the spiritual powers that they represent, and we will inherit them, it's like we're eating those powers. Okay. And if that's the case, then the sukkah, if that's what eating means, then the sukkah is that the sukkah is a protection. So after all these nations are destroyed, so the Ribbono Shel Olam will take all these powers and give us the protection from all the things that we were vulnerable to before. Now we won't be vulnerable to them anymore, so the Leviosan, just like we'll inherit all the powers of the nations of the world, right, that were dangerous to us and negative, will be surrounded, will be protected with the aura of Leviosan. Okay. There's a very long Rashba that says the following. He says that it's not impossible to understand this idea. He's going basically on the Seuda that the Rebbe is going to make from the Leviosan. It's not impossible to understand it literally. And he says the following. He says that the eating over here is not for the sake of enjoyment or for the sake of preservation like normal eating is, but eating has another purpose. When people eat, it arouses various spiritual powers that they have. Yitzchak Avinu asked to be given good things to eat to arouse his neshama that he should be able to give a bracha to Esav, eventually to Yaakov. We find that by karbanos, they eat, kohanim eat, the bailim eat, and it affects kapara. It affects different spiritual powers. He says, we find that there are foods, or even more specifically, plants or whatever, Rashba says this, that are mind-expanding, right? There are mind-expanding drugs, that if you eat them, they open up your mind, they give you what are called hallucinations or whatever, or they make you, right, whatever it may be. We're kids here, we don't need to tell them what the... But many of the things are abused or used improperly. But they exist. There exist foods that can give a person greater sensitivity, greater awareness, and be ma'orer various spiritual powers of the neshama. So, therefore, it's possible that as a hachana for olam haba, this is what he says, is one possibility. He mentions something we're going to speak about tomorrow on Shemini Atzeres. He said, just like in this world there's an Atzeres at the end of every spiritual occasion, there's an Atzeres at the end of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach is Atzeres, Atzeres is Shavuos, and Atzeres is Shemini Atzeres. He says the word Atzeres means that you reach a culmination before you go back to the physical world. You want to end, stop the spiritual things, and then go on with all that you've got accomplished in the spiritual realm, then go on to the physical realm. He says the Allah should love us, just the opposite. There's going to be a time when the physical realm will come to its completion, and you want to put it all together in order to be able now to go on and graduate to the spiritual realm. So just before Olam Haba comes, we're going to get the height of the physical world, which is these foods that were created b'sheishis imei bereishis, and not what's it called, distorted or adulterated, because they were put away from sheishis imei bereishis. The Chofetz Chaim mentions this. So here are foods that are the purest creations of the Ribbono Shel Olam that never went through any of the distortions of this world. They're put away from sheishis imei bereishis, just like we find the mon. The man was a physical food, but it had a spiritual effect. So to these foods, right, were created by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they have, just like the trees of Gan Eden, they weren't regular fruit, but they were foods that had an effect on a person's das, or on life, Eitz HaChayim, Eitz HaDas. They weren't foods as we know them, just like the man wasn't a food as we know it. But it was a food that had effect on a spiritual part of a person, was a food. So too, before Olam Haba happens, says the Rashba, there'll be an Atzeres, that all the tzaddikim will get together and have this Seuda, which will culminate the height of the physical world and be able then to graduate to a totally spiritual world, which is called Olam Haba. And this will happen, the Ramban says, and other Mefarshim, it'll happen 3 days after Trias HaMesim, which will be immediately after the Yom HaDin HaGadol. 3 days after Trias HaMesim will be the final judgment, and then this Suda will take place for all those people who are judged to be tzaddikim. It will culminate the physical world, and then we'll graduate to the spiritual world. This is at least according to the Rambam. We'll see even according to the Ramban. The Ramban holds that Olam Haba is a physical world too, but there won't be any need for eating, drinking. We see the Maral says everything will have taken place before that, but this will be the last physical thing to be done before Olam Haba. That'll be the Atzeres of the physical world. The Kedushas Levi says that it, like the Rashba says, it could be taken literally that people will mamish eat food, and the food will have an effect on their spiritual side. He said, but that's for people who are on a lower level. For the people on a higher level, they won't have to eat physical food. By them, it'll be totally spiritual things. So it can be understood in two things. It's a remez to totally spiritual things, this Leviosan. It's not a physical thing at all. That'll be for people who are on a higher level. For people on a lower level, it will taka be physical things. Now, I want to stop for a second and explain what that means. This is what this Rabbi Boyer said on Thursday Chol HaMoed, but he didn't just explain it the way I think that it really is. He was referring to a Shir Das that says the following: we normally think that there's physical things, physical world and there's a spiritual world, and they're two different places, two different things. It's they're there, here, whatever. It's not really the way it is. The way we like to explain it all the time, and that's what the Shir Das Bema says, is that every physical thing is also a spiritual thing. And in a and there are spiritual worlds or physical worlds. In the spiritual world, the thing fits the spiritual world. When it comes into a different dimension, then it fits the world that it's in. There are less spiritual worlds, more spiritual worlds, less physical worlds, more physical. This is the most physical world, the one we know. This is the end of the train. And from there, from the Hishtalshlus of the Bria, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, there are worlds that are very spiritual, less spiritual, but everything that's found, Kichol Bashamayim Vares, everything that's found in every world is found in every world, just in a different surah. The example I like to give, so you know it's not dependent on place or whatever, it's the same thing, is a tape. A videotape. Okay? You have a tape. On the tape is electromagnetic impulses. Those electromagnetic impulses in that realm are energy. Okay? And they don't look like a person. And they don't sound like a person. But if you video a person, right, and you put it through the player, in the realm of the video player, it now takes on light, sound, you see a person or whatever, and you hear his voice. It's the same electromagnetic thing, except in the on the tape, it's pure energy. When it goes through that player, it becomes a different thing, but it's the same thing. It's just, for the mode that it's in, it takes on a different surah. The mail are the same thing. You have a spiritual power, he speaks about a medrash with a frog. In the Olamos HaElyonim, there's a power called a frog. It doesn't look like a frog the way we see it. It's a totally spiritual thing. When that power goes into a lower world, it takes on a different surah. It has a different, same thing, it's the same power. It's just for the, it fits that world. Finally, when it comes into this physical world, it takes on a physical form that the frog that we know. The frog that we know over here is a physical being. But it has its counterpart, its neshama, its spiritual counterpart in all the olamos. At the same time, is takes on a different form in all these different worlds. But it's all the same thing. It's all the same time. Now, what he said is, there's really no place and everything's here, all the neshamas. That's not exactly the case. There are different dimensions. There's a dimension of neshamos, there's a dimension of bodies. When the neshama comes into this world, it clothes itself in a body that looks like the neshama. Right? It's the same thing. It's not a different thing, except in this physical world, this is the tzura. And on the other hand, when a person leaves this physical world, he goes into a different dimension, right? And then he has a different tzura. It's a spiritual tzura. It's the same thing. It just and it exists all at the same time.
Right here.
Right. Not right. It's not that there's a bunch of neshamas running around here. There's no here and not here. That's what the Shir Das says. It's not here, because here is just a different dimension. It's a different dimension. There is no here. There's no place. There's only place in this physical world that we, right, perceive. But in a different dimension, it's the same thing. But he says it, Legabi, how could you get schar in Olam Hazeh? Schar is totally Olam Haba. It says over there, what's it called, that... Rabbi Hanina Mendoza got a table leg, right, a golden table leg, is his schar in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is Ruchnias. He said, up there in the spiritual world, again, it's not up-down, in a dimension that's totally spiritual, which is the Olam Haba world, there is a concept called a table. Right, just like in the, he says, what's it called, for instance, we have a concept called taste. Taste is a very physical thing. Right? Taste something with your tongue or whatever. That's called taste. But there's tamei ha-mitzvah. Taste and mitzvah. It's obviously not the same thing. You can't put it in your mouth and taste it. But it's the same idea. Here, it's a physical thing, but in a different mode, it's a spiritual concept. Same exact thing. So there's a spiritual concept called a table. It doesn't look like a table. It doesn't have legs. Right? It's like the electromagnetic impulses. But it's the same thing. When it comes into this world, that concept called the spiritual table takes on top, legs, or whatever. So when you take that spiritual concept, which is in Olam Haba, not something physical, something spiritual that has no, limit to it, right? But when you put it into this world, in other words, this mode, it takes on the tzura of a table leg that has dimensions or whatever, because it fits the world that it's in. It's not that all the worlds are all here. They're not here, they're not there. It's different dimensions, but they are different dimensions. All the neshamas aren't running around here, as he said. That's not what the Shir Das means. It means there are different dimensions, and what's in one dimension is one way, and a different dimension looks a different way, or whatever. But they're different dimensions, but they're not here and there, somewhere up, down, or whatever. There's no concept of place so much. It's dimensions. That's the thing. Different dimensions.
Interestingly, the cutting edge of theoretical physics that they scientists have managed to study.
I'm confused enough. You're going to make me
more
confused.
It's amazingly similar. I mean, I've been reading about this, and it's called string theory, and it's trying to explain how all aspects of quantum mechanics don't work out with what we understand as Einstein's theories of relativity. And the answers that they've come up with are all based on the fact that right here where we are anywhere between 8 and 15 other dimensions that all occupy here, but they're different dimensions that we can't see or access, but that they're all here.
Okay, but it doesn't mean they're all here. It means that they're all different dimensions, and there's no here, really.
So every single spot in our three dimensions, or four dimensions, actually, height, time, every single point, which has no size, has within it curled dimensions.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Okay,
really,
so Mela, he says, what's it called? That's the idea of what's it called, Gan Eden. There was a Gan Eden Shalmata and a Gan Eden Shalmala. It's not two different things. In this world, Gan Eden took on a physical thing with trees and with fruits or whatever. The Avadi were not the kinds of trees and fruits we know either. But there's a Gan Eden Shalmala. It's not up there somewhere. It's just the same thing in a different dimension. In that dimension, it's totally spiritual things. In this dimension, it takes on a form of something physical, the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the physical embodiment of spiritual things that exist in a different world. Same idea. And the Rashba says this. It's Mamish what the Shuri Das says is this Rashba. Memela, there's what's it called an idea of eating physical things that affect the part of the neshama that's in this physical world, but in a higher sphere, it's totally spiritual things that affect the neshama out of the body, not physical at all. And that's what we said that the Kedushas Levi says, it depends on the person's madrega. A person's on a higher madrega, so by him it's totally spiritual. A person on a lower madrega is more connected to this world, it's on a more physical level. Same thing. But it's not different things. It's just the same thing in a different mode. That's all. Okay, now he says like this. Now, Leviathan, he says, therefore, is the concept of the Nefesh and the Seichel as opposed to the Chomer and the Tzura. He says that what's it called? That Dagim, live in water. So in the physical world, they're fish and they're water, but water in spiritual worlds is wisdom, right? Mehadas. So it's the same thing when it comes to this world's water. Torah is compared to water. It's not just a euphemism, but Torah down here, what water is in the upper worlds, that's Mehadas. It's the waters of wisdom. And Dagim are also preetze, it says. They also here have a concept of being very prolific, right, and very gashmiistic, and the same thing goes, what's it called, in those powers in the above. So this whole idea of Leviathan is, he says, the Rashba, that there are two Leviathans. There's the chokhmah, the seichel of a person, and then there is the physical part with the taivas or whatever. Now, really, they should go together completely, and a person's taivas and physical side should go completely after his chokhmah and his seichel, and should be totally spiritual. person should not have a physical side to him. His physical side should be totally like Eliyahu HaNavi, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the 40 days was on Har Sinai, where his physical side was totally bottled to his spiritual side. So the two Leviathans, the Zohar and the Keva, one represents the physical side, one the spiritual side. If they would get together perfectly, the world couldn't exist because people wouldn't have children. There wouldn't be a physical world when Moshe Rabbeinu had to separate from his wife, says the Rashba. Right? So therefore, the Rabban Shem didn't want that. He wanted a physical world. So in order to be a physical world, he had to mitigate somehow both of these powers, that they shouldn't ever be able to mesh completely in this world. That, she says, what it means, that the Rabban Shem Olam killed the Nekeva, doesn't mean he killed it. Killing means concept of taking away its power. And the same thing as castration, the same thing. Same thing as cooling something off. All of these things show that the powers were mitigated. Lagavi the person, again, they're a physical thing. But in the spiritual world, there are spiritual powers that represent these things that what's it called, that the Rabban Shalom made these powers controlled in order there should be a world. But La'asid Lavo, in the future, God will see to it that these things are basically killed. And the tzaddikim then will feast on them, and those powers will become within them, will they become totally spiritual. There's a time when this world will, and after it says, Gavriel, Midas Adin, the Rabban Shalom made a certain time where after that point, the purpose of the world, the physical world, won't exist. Everything will graduate to a more spiritual world. But if God wouldn't help Gavriel do that, it wouldn't happen, because Ratzon Hashem is that there should be a world. So it has to go against the Ratzon. Now God has to be Yochel, stop that Ratzon. Only God can do that. At that point, the Tzaddikim will graduate, like we said, it will be an end of the physical world, the Atzeres of the physical world, and graduating to a totally spiritual world. That's the Rashba. The Maral Prague says that, again, same, similar idea. These things are all hints to very spiritual powers, but that does not mean that they don't have physical counterparts in this world. And he says, achila, here he says, achila doesn't necessarily mean to put something in your mouth and swallow it. Achila means hashlama. You want to add something to yourself, something you were missing, you want to add. When you add to your body, so what do? You eat. So the concept of eating is hashlama, okay? Something that receives its perfection, its addition by eating. And he says, that's what it says, v'yachalta es kol ha'amin, right? We will destroy these nations, but not destroy them. We'll take the good that they had and we'll incorporate it. So we're eating the nations, meaning we're incorporating within us that which adds to our existence. That's called achila. He says that shtia, right, is different. Shtia is where there was something missing and you want to, take away the missing thing. Achila is where you want to add more hashlam. Nothing missing, but you want to add more hashlam. That's the difference between achila and shtia. He says that all these ideas are that the taiva of Leviathan, okay, is what's it called? Leviathan represents taiva in this world, right? And then there's also shvichas damim, ritzich, all the bad things of the nations, which we're going to destroy. Those nations represented these bad midos, but again, there's a good side to them. One of the Mefarshim, I remember, was the Pri Tzadik, I think, says that it's interesting that this behemos, when there's going to be the final, fight between the Leviathan and the behemos is going to be eaten completely. Nothing's going to be used with skin. The Leviathan is going to be eaten, but the skin's going to be used. He says Leviathan represents taiva. Taiva, there'll be a good use for taiva. That's what's it called, taiva for Torah. So the skin will still remain from the Leviathan. Behemos represents shvichas damim and kina. There's nothing good. So everything will be consumed and go to the Tzad HaTov. There'll be nothing left of from the original negative things. The Maral says also that all of this will occur before Olam Haba. Because in our Olam Haba, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia doesn't just necessarily mean there's no eating and drinking as we know it. But Olam Haba, there's no hashlama. Everything will be perfect. So there'll be no need to perfect anything. So there's no eating or drinking. There's no chisorin that you need to take away with drinking. And there's nothing that could be added. It's perfection. But before Olam Haba, similar to what we said before, this atzeres that the Rashba says, before Olam Haba comes, this will be the last hashlama that will graduate a person into Olam Haba. At that point, there won't have to be anything more, but the Rabban Shalom reserved these special foods that both are physical and totally spiritual, again, understand the level, to be mashlim, the neshamos of tzaddikim, that then will graduate to Olam Haba, where they won't need any more hashlama. Okay. He says that Leviyosan is the powers of Chesed to the right, and Behemos is the powers of the Din to the left, and Lasid Lavo, these two powers will fight and merge, and there won't be any difference between them. That'll be in Olam Haba, everything will be one. There won't be any two sides anymore. It'll all merge into one Achdus. And the Hashlama will be with the Zachar Nekeva. Zachar Nekeva is a Hashlama because Zachar has certain qualities, Nekeva other qualities, and the Hashlama, the perfection, comes from both those qualities together. And he says that if that perfection would exist in the world as we know it, it would destroy the world. The Maral in other places says, the concept I like to compare it to is, if you have a appliance that runs on 110, and you plug it into a 220 socket, you know what happens. Burns out the motor. This world runs on 110. If it would have that perfection of 220, it would destroy the world. So the world's not ready yet for that perfection of Leviathan, so the Rebbe Shem put it away for the future. But it had to exist. It was created as part of the world, and it's meant to be, right, the completion of this world before Olam Haba. And that which it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with Leviathan, says the Maral, what it means the following. The Rabban Shalom has a connection to this physical world. It starts from him, Kibiyachol, to the most spiritual kinds of things, and then it gets more and more different dimensions of more and more physical till it comes to the physical world. The Rabban Shalom doesn't have a direct connection with the physical world, Kibiyachol. It all goes through what's called different dimensions. Starts with the most spiritual dimension, which Kibiyachol is that which is connected to the Rabban Shalom. That's Leviathan. Leviathan is the most spiritual link of the physical world. Therefore, when before the world goes to its total spirituality, the tzaddikim will have that connection to that highest link of spirituality before they have that tremendous connection to the Rabban Shalom. So therefore, that's what it means. The Rabban Shalom plays with Leviathan means that his connection to the physical world is through this koach that's called Leviathan. It doesn't mean he's playing around with the fish. It means that this concept is the Ribbono Shel Olam's, but in this physical world, it's a fish. He says the same thing. The Yardain is this concept that it has, where's the Yardain is a spiritual koach, Eretz Yisrael. In this world, it's a river. Where is its source? In a very nister place. And that, where does it end up? By Leviathan. Same idea. Right? All these spiritual forces end up by this Leviathan, who is the spiritual link to be Yachal to the Rabban Shalom. And Leviathan love all the tzaddikim will yarshin that koach, that's called eating, and make it part of them in order they can graduate then to Olam Haba. What?
Different dimensions.
Right.
Connected to
the exactly. As much as I know what I just said, you know now too. I'm just saying the words here, right? But at least it makes it somewhat, you see at least what's going on over here a little bit, even though we don't understand it. Now he says, the Maral says, that there's two levels of perfection. One is individual perfection. That's the eating of the flesh of Leviosa. Each tzaddik will eat, meaning he'll incorporate within himself those kochos. But then there's the or of Leviosa. There's also a perfection of the klal, because we're all connected. We're not separate. So there's a perfection as a prat, and then there's a perfection of the klal. The klal will be the sukkah that the Rabbanu Shlomo will make. Not the individual perfection within the person, but from without, and then the perfection of all, everybody together, on the Chomos Yerushalayim. So all of this perfection will be internalized, external, more general, and then even more general all around all of Klal Yisrael. And he says that the or gives kavod. That's an external kind of thing, right? There's a hashlama of the essence of the person, and then there's also hashlama of the external of the person. That's kavod, just like the anonia kavod. The be'er and the mon were things that were part of the essence of the person that he ingested, the water and the food that went to be mashlin, the essence. The anonia kavod from without, which is the external hashlam of a person. That's why we don't celebrate the mon and the bear, because those were necessities. But the anonia kavod is the extra thing, that's what we celebrate. If you're not more confused than you were when we started, just to sum up the idea, is that Leviosan is a Bria that the Rabbanu Shem created. It has a physical counterpart in this world. May not be available in this world. It's put away, stocked away. It also has spiritual counterparts, and those spiritual forces are representative in spiritual powers that are represented physically by the empires in the world, Kolchos Hara, which in the future will be destroyed and incorporated into Klal Yisrael. The good from that, the good parts of that, and also those Kolchos, the spiritual Kolchos, will perfect the tzaddikim, Lasid Lavo, before Olam Haba comes, the final hashlam, the final perfection of this world, before this world ceased to exist, and it'll be a totally spiritual world. That's basically what this idea, and that's Orosh HaLeviosim. That sukkah will be the external hashlama in addition to all the internal hashlama.